going to talk about various aspects of California agriculture, organic agriculture in California, the acreage, which commodities are produced, the national importance of California in the organic market, sales or organic production, sales figures at the farm gate, number of growers, entry and exit of organic farmers into the organic program, and income concentration. Oops. Okay. All of the information that I'm going to present is based on the registration data in California. California has a unique situation. The original Organic Production Act or Farming Act in California was 1990. It preceded the federal law and called for all farmers in California, and handlers for that matter, and processors who are using the word organic in marketing to be registered with the state of California. And in 2003, we rewrote the law to be in sync with the federal law once the federal law came into effect. But that registration requirement stayed in the California law. Now, registration then is completely different than certification, which is required by the federal law. So the state California law requires registration with the state organic program no matter what size you are, and the federal law requires certification with a third party certifier if you're grossing more than $5,000. So I imagine most people in the room are familiar with certification. So you've got to have both. Okay, so let's look at the acreage of California commodities then. And we see that on an acreage basis, kind of equally divided fruits and nuts. Fruits and nuts is primarily fruits. Vegetables, almost a quarter. Field crops, almost a quarter. Livestock, poultry, and products, about a third. And nursery, of course, is very small in terms of acreage. I made the mistake. I said all of this was based on the registration data. The next couple of slides are actually based on Kathy Green's data that she's going to be presenting later on a national basis. But her data was just based on certifiers. Okay, so the California numbers that I'm talking about, mostly from the organic program, are all organic growers in California, certified or not. The small growers, so we pick up the very small growers who are not certified. Based on the ERS study of only certified acreage, see that California is 13% of all organic cropland, only 4% in field crops and hay, but more than half of the fruit and nut acreage, and well more than half of the vegetable acreage in the United States of organic acreage, or certified organic acreage, is in California. So when you're talking about organic fruits and vegetables, you're really talking about California, talking about production. And the data that Kathy collected from the certifiers shows California's dominance in tomatoes, lettuce, carrots, and then the mixed operations, and then other crops. Now, if you were looking just at conventional tomato, lettuce, and carrot production, it would also look like this. This is California's role in vegetable production in the United States as well. And then when you look at tree crops, California's dominance in terms of nuts, I think on a conventional basis, the dominance would even be larger than this. Citrus, apples, less so, and grapes, other. So just the detail there. Now, moving on to, this is farm gate sales. So we broke $500 million in 2005. So remember back to what that pie chart looked like for when we were looking at acreage. But when we look at sales, it looks very different. With vegetable crops at 41%, it was much less than that in terms of acreage. And fruits and nuts, 36%. So livestock, which was, I guess I should have these numbers memorized by now, but livestock, which was, I think, 34% of the acreage, is only 16% of the sales. So it's just another way of looking at these. The field crops, which was, I can't remember what percentage, but 20% or something of the acreage, only 5% of sales. Because this is, of course, because fruits and vegetables are such a higher value crop. Okay, and we look at this another way. When we look at all California sales, including conventional, then field crops are 9% of all sales of California products. fruit and nuts 30%, nursery crops 10%, vegetable crops 23%, livestock 27%. When we look at organic agriculture, it's not just a shrunk down version of what conventional agriculture looks like in California. You see that field crops are less important at only 5%, fruit and nut crops more important, 37% of gross sales, vegetable crops 41% compared to 23% of the conventional, and livestock, poultry and products much less important, and that's primarily because of dairy. California is the number one dairy state in the country. When you look at conventional production, it's not true for organic, although there are a lot more organic dairies coming online recently. Then if you look at in that final column, organic as a percent of all California sales, it's 1% of field crops, 2% of fruit and nut crops, a fraction of nurseries, 3% of vegetable crop production, and only 1% of livestock. So you see that the proportions are it's different. It's not just 2% of everything. And just quickly, the top 20 commodities, dairy actually rose to the top in terms of sales last year. It's really been increasing in the last couple of years. It'll be very interesting to look at the 2006-2007 data. Salad mix has been on top since the beginning and now moved to the number two spot. But also 2006-2007 will be interesting to look at after the E. coli problems and the earthbound crisis and so forth. Strawberries, even though the yield per acre is so much lower in organic strawberries, the number three crop, table grapes, lettuce, wine grapes, spinach, chicken moving up there, layer hens. Rice, very important, rice and almonds, very important. I'll just skip through that. Okay, so we want to look at trends then in California organic agriculture. Here is the acreage. We see that 92 is the first year these numbers were collected, and we see actually from 2004-2005 the fruit and nut acreage dropped off a little bit, field crop acreage declined a little bit after that tremendous growth from 99 to 2003. Vegetable acreage about the same, the livestock acreage because of this onset of more dairies increasing, and the nursery acreage is so small you can't quite really see it. But if we look at sales, sales flattened off between 2004 and 2005, but the sales have increased at a much faster rate than the acreage. So it's kind of interesting. Part of it is that the acreage numbers tend to be the funkiest numbers because people may or may not include fallow acreage and acreage in rotation, and so and sometimes people report all the acreage on their farm, not just the acreage that's producing. So it's probably the funniest number. And then also for vegetable crops where there's three crops on a farm, sometimes you end up with triple counting that acreage. So the acreage number is maybe the weakest number in terms of quality and all this. But you see this dramatic increase, especially starting in 2000, of sales. So the problem that was being anticipated, that as acreage expanded, the price received would decrease, at least in a gross sense, is not the case. If you look at some individual commodities, that's been the case. But overall, the prices have kept up or the price premiums have even been increasing as everything's increasing. Now, this is an interesting number when you look at the number of growers. We have almost 2,000 growers in California now in the 2007 numbers. And you look and see that about 1,200 of them have some small orchard involved in their operation. We have a lot of very small orchards. And the reason this is not a stacked bar chart like the other ones is because there's so many people who are in multiple categories. So if you stack it, it adds up to way more than the total number of 1,800 growers. And so anyway, so you see the very high number of small fruit growers, a lot of mixed vegetable growers, a lot of people who have fruit and vegetables, and a lot of people who have field crops and vegetables as well, and then some orchards as well. So the number of livestock producers then still very, very small. Okay, now we look at exit and entry of the organic growers into the California program. Do I have a pointer? Oh, okay. These are the continuing numbers in, oh boy, it's a really different color on the screen, on the computer screen. On the brown here, these are the people who continued from the previous year. These are the new growers in any one year. And then at the end of the year, these are the number of people who exit. So in any one, so even though this number on top looks so steady, if you look at the green number, in this year there were almost 500 new growers, and at the end of the year, by the end of the year, 360 growers had left. So the net change isn't so much, but it's a lot of in and out. In 2001, 380 new growers and 381 growers left the program. So, you know, some from here and some from here. So anyway, this sort of steady number of growers, I'm just trying to make the point here, is not there's a lot of in and out of the organic program. And we did test to look to see if people just forgot to register and then they were back in the next year. If we didn't count those as people who has exited. If you were in, out for a year and then back in, we just assumed there was some, you know, you just registered late. I didn't count those as people who had been exiting. Here I just did the same numbers, just trying to, let's just skip that. I spent way too much time with those slides. In fact, I have a new version since I had to upload this last week on trying to show how that works. Anyway, so recently we've done a study where we sent a mail survey to people who left the organic program over the last couple of years, asking them why. In some cases, it looks like they're exiting, but really there was a consolidation where their farm was bought by another farm. They changed the name of their farm. It was registered under their name, and then it got registered under the farm name, so that really didn't go out. Some people retired or died, and so those would be things that had nothing to do. The first two were things that really they didn't exit. The third one had nothing to do with them really being organic. But then we asked them, it's a whole other talk on this survey, but the number one reason that people gave for why they left the organic program was there was too much paperwork and the cost of certification and the problems of certification. So that was different than another question that we asked about compliance with the regulations. Were the regulations too difficult to comply with? And that didn't seem to be as much problem as the actual act of registration and certification. So that's kind of interesting and maybe a little disheartening, and that's why it's great that Mark Lipson's out there beating the ground to get some more money for a cost share program for certification from USDA. It looks like that money will be increased. Then access to markets, and then there were people who said, well, I'm beyond organic now, I don't need to be certified, I'm direct marketing and my customers know I'm organic and I'm using biodynamic or something else, and so they're still farming organically, so there's the environmental benefits of having these people on the planet, but it doesn't show up in the the organic program data. And then when we look at who are the people who are coming in, unfortunately from this data set it's pretty hard to tell, but for the most part it seems to be conventional growers who are diversifying. There are some new farmers, but to much lesser extent. Expansion by existing farmers is a very, existing organic farmers is at least half of the what looks like entry. And then again, the name changing consolidation looks like entry, but it's really kind of a legal fiction. And then finally, income concentration. And again, I want to point out that this is what conventional agriculture looks like. It's highly concentrated in the sense if you look at the number of growers compared to the percent sales. So on the left-hand side, get my magic. So 37% of, so over a third of the farmers in California who are registered with the organic program are less than $5,000, so they do not need to be certified. Some of them are, a lot of them are, interestingly enough, but they do not need to be certified. So none of these people would show up in Kathy's data that she got from the certified, not none, sorry. Some of these people will not show up, but they only represent 1% of sales. If you go to the other end, then you look at the top, say, 10% of growers. representing about almost 90% of the sales up here in these three categories. So this is what conventional looks like, but conventional is this is actually even more concentrated than conventional agriculture in terms of this disparity. Now the California program has changed to ask people to report over $5 million in sales, so we have that additional category will be in the newer data. So and the reason for these categories is there's a sliding scale for what the registration fee is. It's based on your what your gross sales are in organic. Oh, and I should say that all the money that's coming into the California Organic Program is pretty much spent on enforcement, because there's no money in the federal law for the National Organic Program for enforcement. Each state's kind of on their own on that. So there's a lot of money in California for enforcement and spot checking farmers markets and answering complaints. It's mostly complaint driven. But now that their coffers are so full, they are doing some spot inspections. And also in the new organic law in California, it has actually expanded to include retailers who are selling, not that sell any organic product, but if they have a deli and they, like Whole Foods has a deli and they sell organic potato salad or something, then they also have to be registered with the organic program. Okay, so finally, if we just look at the overall trends, the sales in California these are farm gate sales, growing at double digit rates without an increase in the number of growers, and really a much slower growth rate in the acreage, which is a bit surprising, but that's what the data shows. Vegetable crops and fruits are still dominating, but livestock and poultry sales, and this is primarily dairy and beef, are now growing at a faster rate than produce. It's easier to have a faster growth rate, of course, when you're that much smaller, but it's something really to watch. The dairy operations, some of these dairies are dairies on the coast that were out of business 30 years ago, and now people are buying up this land and starting to introduce dairies in Northern California, where the big mega dairies tend to be are in Southern California. So it's kind of interesting to see this birth of this organic dairy industry kind of moving to where historically there were dairies initially in California. And that's it. Mark, oh, do you call people?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I just, you know, I looked at this agenda and there were so many talks and I thought, man, this is dense.
The income bracketing.
Yeah.
The actual sales of the larger operations are not accurately reported, right? They're just in a category of a million.
Most of the people, they could just check the box and say over a million or now over 5 million, but most of them do report the actual amount. Not all, but most do. So you're saying that 500 million could be low?
I'm quite sure that's low.
Yeah.
I think that's low by maybe a factor of two or more.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be borne out with that being a reason why. One thing that is true is that there seem to be a lot of farmers who are certified but not registered. And that's not something that the California program has been going after. And that's not something that I personally have been trying to emphasize. Is this being recorded? Because anyway, why not? But, and I have talked to the certifiers and said, do you require some kind of, because they're not really supposed to be enforcing whether somebody's registered. And so they do point out to their clients, especially when they have a new client, that they're supposed to be registered in California, but they don't enforce that and they don't really ever even check. And then the California program doesn't take the list of certified growers, because at least for QAI and CCOF, it's all easy to see. It's all public, the number, the names, and addresses of their growers. and seeing if these people are registered. So there, so that, I think, is the bigger reason why these numbers are low. And then also, since it's a sliding scale, you pay your fee based on your income, there is a high motivation for underreporting your sales. But still, it's that top, you know, but if you get the bottom 20% wrong, it's still nothing. It's what the top 10 or 15%, if they're reporting accurately or not. Yes. But again, this is Farmgate sales, you know, this is not retail.
Yeah, I still think it's pretty
low. Yeah, no, I think it's low too.
What was the reason for leveling off Farmgate sales in 2006?
I don't know. It's curious, and I think in 2006 we'll see it pick back up again. Oh, okay. The question is, why did the sales level off in 2005 compared to 2004? And there was another prior year where we saw that happen too, and then the next year it just shot up. One of the other things, the flaws of, you know, data is data, but one of the flaws or problems, shortcomings of this data set is, and I just did a cutoff of year, January 1st to December 31st as defining the year. And what happens is when you renew your registration each year, it depends on the date that you registered the first time. So I don't know how to do it in other states, but like for California driver's license, my birthday's in March, so I always renew in March. And so if you first registered in February, every year you're going to register in February. So so February 2005, you're really reporting the sales for the previous year. It's really from the summer of 2004. Whereas in December 2005, and you're in the same set, you're going to be reporting for the summer of 2005. So the general trends, I think, are what are important rather than maybe the year-to-year variation. Yes. Not that I know of. Not that I'm aware of. Seem to be. What? They get a lot of press, but it's always an individual person who's kind of renegade farmer who's breaking away from organic, and I'm even better than organic. And so the press kind of likes to make it sound like it's so many people, but I don't think it's a ton of people. Yeah. That was gross income. Gross Farmgate income. Yes. They're purchasing from a lot of small farmers, yeah. But it's not a co-op.
Would they register just one farm, or would all
these farms? It depends, but probably those farms are registered and certified separately. And then Earthbound is purchasing from them. It's possible for them to contract with a farm, but I don't think Earthbound does that. They could contract and then hold the certification themselves, but in that case, I don't think it happens very much or at all. But it does with, a Calo does that. They'll be purchasing and they'll do some contract stuff. So, well, it's not technically a contract, but they'll supervise the growing and hold. So, and this question of umbrella certifications is kind of a big one at the moment, whether that should be allowed or not. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.